If you would, open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I am your evangelism pastor, so we're going to talk about proclaiming the gospel. You know, as Christians, there's a lot of ways we do proclaiming. For instance, let me give you an idea or a thought. On the cross, Jesus Christ was doing a lot of proclaiming. Wasn't doing a lot of talking, but he was doing a lot of proclaiming. When God rolled away that tomb and that cave was empty, the tomb was empty, there was a lot of proclaiming going on. When Christ came as a babe in the manger, there was a lot of proclaiming going on. We as Christians do a lot of proclaiming with just our lives, a lot of proclaiming. So if you turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I want you to look at verses 14 through 18. And before I start, I'd like to say this. There's nothing new under the sun. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us this. Nothing new under the sun. But more and more that I'm seeing is that proclaiming Christians don't really fully understand what it means to be a true Christian. And there's a lot of people that believe if I go down an aisle, if I say a prayer, I get baptized, okay, I'm good. Now I can go back to living my life. And the way I liken it is, okay, I'm me and I'm pursuing my life and God revolves around me, or Christ revolves around my life. That's not it. If you fully understood what Jesus Christ did on that cross, and if you fully understood statements or verses in Isaiah and Jeremiah that says all of my righteousness is but filthy rags, Jeremiah says my heart is desperately sick, who could know it? If I fully understood what Jesus Christ did upon that cross for my wickedness and my sin is what put him on that cross, that is a life-changing message. You go, how could I ask him after what he's done to revolve around me? My whole life revolves around him. It's him. If you fully understand this, so if you come to me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, we as Christians do a lot of proclaiming. Just by the way that we live our life, it proclaims that there is something more special, there is something more important, there is something more valuable, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. You come into verse 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. Okay, so that's a command. For what? That's where we get the saying unequally yoked. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Okay, so the Christian is thinking along in the realm of what's pleasing to God in his eyes. The unbeliever is not thinking in the realm of what's pleasing to God. The unbeliever is thinking in the realm of what's pleasing to me. It's lawless. I'm going to do what I want. Rather than, I want to live my life to honor the creator of heaven and earth that gave his life for me. And I trust him. He knows what's best. I don't. So therefore, if his word says it, I desire to do it because I trust him. He's proven himself faithful. So we come into the rest of it. Or what fellowship has light with darkness? You know what light does? Light makes things perfectly clear. Perfectly clear. If you've ever been in here on a Wednesday night and you're in those two back rooms right there and those lights get turned off, you can't see anything back there. I'll give you another example. As I've gotten older, you know, when you're younger, at nighttime, you whip around in your car and you're turning lanes and you can drive and the lights from the other cars, they don't bother you and you see really clear. The older you get, some of you in here understand what I'm saying. Younger people, it's coming for you. Unless the rapture comes. And I, for your sakes and ours, I hope so. So as you get older, things aren't as clear. It's a little more convoluted. It doesn't line up right. And here's another one. You go to change lanes. You should just be able to go, whoop, whoop, shh. Not no more. You're like this. Uh-oh. I said, yeah, I quarter my, uh-oh. And before you know it, you're changing lanes like this. Hoping you don't hit somebody. Darkness convolutes. You know what light does? Light goes, nah, that's what God says. It's done. I want to do it because he's my Lord and Savior. It's light. It's clear. There's no ambiguity about it. What does it say? That's what a Christian should do because they trust him. So we keep going. Verse 15. Or what harmony has Christ with Belial, that which is worthless, another name for Satan? What harmony? We're not singing the same tune. We're not making the same noises. We're not complimenting the same song. Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? They're going two different directions. The unbelieving world is going one way. The believer is on his way to Golgotha. The believer is on his way. He's picking up his cross and he's following Christ. That's where he's going. So we keep going in verse 16. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. So he's given us these analogies. Light, darkness, righteousness, lawlessness. Christ, Belial, that which is holy, that which is not holy. It's profane. Believer, unbeliever. Temple of the living God. Idols. I'm not worshiping that which I'm worshiping that which is true and holy and powerful and right. Now we come into the rest of 16. So here it is. For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Okay. 17. Therefore, what action needs to take place with the Christian? There's the proclaiming, brothers and sisters. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. I will walk among you. I will have a relationship with you. I will be your God, and you will experience my grace and favor in your life. But what does the believer got to do? Come out from their midst and be separate. That word separate means to mark off by boundaries, to limit, to exclude, to appoint. There's marking off by boundaries. I'm sorry. Those are things I can't do. Those are things I can't be a part of. Those are things that do not honor the Lord. You're doing a lot of proclaiming when you separate yourself from the rest of the world. Two different directions. You come into the rest of 17. Do not touch what is unclean. That which is profane in God's eyes, we want to stay away from. And watch it say, and I will welcome you. But what has to happen? Come out from their midst and be separate. Do not touch what is unclean. And then there'll be a welcoming. There'll be an embrace. Look at 18. I will be a father to you. There'll be a relationship with the creator of heaven and earth that you call dad. A relationship. And you shall be sons and daughters to me, those that are cherished by God, says the Lord Almighty. We do a lot of proclaiming, brothers and sisters, and it's not always the words, it's the actions. This is why I believe in this day and age, why Christians and true churches are so important. Because the world is wanting to convolute. Galatians would say there's a different gospel that's out there. There's a gospel that's telling you can go to church on Sunday, you can pray a little prayer, and then you can go live your life, and God will revolve around you. That's a different gospel. The gospel is clear. Jesus Christ gave his life to cover all of your sin, my filth, my terribleness. And he died and gave himself for me. I could never dishonor him by telling him to revolve around me. We should all hit our knees in gratitude and thankfulness for what he's done for us and say, God, how can I serve you today? My life needs to revolve around you. That is what being a true Christian is all about. And that is proclaiming. Separate ourselves from the rest of the world. Now, should we witness? Should we evangelize? Of course, but we're not living and motivated by the same things the world's motivated by. A Christian is motivated, I love God and I serve God. That does a lot of proclaiming, brothers and sisters. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you that, Lord, your love and that your grace and your forgiveness. And Lord, that you forgave us of our sin. That it's our sin that nailed you to that cross. It's my filth. It's my wicked heart. And Lord, you still love us in spite of that. You still offer us grace and forgiveness and fellowship in spite of that. Lord, there's no one like you. That's what you accomplished on the cross. Your love was clearly seen. You conquered death by coming up out of that tomb, Lord. We thank you for that. You sit at the right hand of God the Father right now. All authority has been given to you. Lord, may we live our lives to serve you, to worship you, and to just live for you and to love one another. And Lord, we believe that as we obey you, you do a lot of proclaiming through your people. In Jesus' name, amen.